9:07, I will open up the meeting of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas Foundation. First item is public comment. Is there any public comment at GBC?
There is none at this time.
Thank you. Is there any public comment at the system office in Reno?
None at this time.
Thank you. Any public comment here at UNLV? Seeing none, is there any public comment on the phone, SCS?
There's none at this time.
Thank you so much. We will move to item number 2, annual report. And for this, I'll go to President Whitfield.
Good morning, and thank you, Chair. For the record, Keith Whitfield, President of UNLV. I have the pleasure of introducing for our foundation report, Tony Sanchez, who serves as our chair. And with him is Ricky McCurry, who's the president of the foundation, as well as the vice president for philanthropy and alumni at UNLV. Tony?
Thank you, President Whitfield. Chair Carvalho, Regents, Chancellor Charlton, NSHE Institution Presidents, again, Tony Sanchez, newly installed chair of the UNLV Foundation, honor to be here with you all this morning. Much like our sister foundations across the NSHE system, the UNLV Foundation is committed to making meaningful connections. The UNLV Rebel community is defined by its resilience, strength, and generosity. Our 60 volunteer leaders at the UNLV Foundation are committed to supporting UNLV, strengthening the university's community ties, serving the citizens of Las Vegas and beyond through the mission of higher education. Our love for the university unites us, whether we're here to volunteer, donate, attend an event, or establish a partnership to leave lasting impacts. It's an honor to present our annual report from fiscal year 2024. At the UNLV Foundation, we're here to strategically support UNLV. We want to further cultivate a dynamic culture by working to enhance faculty-student research, community partnerships, as well as diverse learning opportunities in the lab, studio, and field. We're happy to report from our giving survey, our giving summary from last year, the UNLV Foundation raised approximately $52 million in cash, stocks, service recognition gifts, as well as pledges, highlighted by several notable donations, a $6 million donation from Boyd Gaming to our UNLV Football Foundation, as well as 9 new inductees to the Palladium Society, which represent companies donating over $1 million. Also received a $4 million donation from the John Sarah family to the Honors College for a scholarship. So a total of close to $52 million, a slight decrease from the previous year. But as you're going to hear, we've got a very bright horizon in front of us. As far as our fiscal performance for the year, as of June 30th, 2024, our assets at the foundation have for the first time totaled over $500 million, which has been a very nice increase. And the affiliated foundation assets include those of the Rebel Golf Foundation, the UNLV Alumni Association, the Rebel Football Foundation, the Rebel Soccer Foundation, and the UNLV Research Foundation. From a perspective of our endowment's performance, our investment consulting firm, Callan, under the supervision of Randy Garcia, who chairs our investment committee and coincidentally was the UNLV Alumnus of the Year this year, had a net return of a little over 9% for all assets in fiscal year 2024. After fees and distributions, the foundation's endowment increased by a net of 9.5%. And so as we move forward, the campus support that where these dollars are going, $29 million in campus support. Close to $2 million of that was designated to capital projects involving UNLV's new engineering college, as well as over $7 million in scholarships. And then the about 69% of those dollars went to programming support, faculty support, student success programs, and the like. So some terrific success stories for the year. The UNLV Foundation Board, as I indicated, I recently took the helm from our previous chairman, David Ross, and you have before you the foundation trustees that are proposed for the coming year, as well as new trustee nominations. We have three new trustees joining our group of 60, along with 17 reappointments to our foundation. We'll continue our efforts to have our foundation reflect, you know, the fantastic diversity that UNLV itself has exhibited as one of the most diverse universities in our system. On a positive note, moving forward, you know, really honored to be able to announce and something that will be receiving a lot more press next week under the leadership of President Whitfield, Provost Heavey, as well as Foundation staff members Stowe Shoemaker, Emily Irwin, and our President Ricky McCurry. We'll be announcing a $15 million gift from the Las Vegas Sands Corporation to establish the Sands Institute for Chinese Language and Culture at UNLV. Those dollars will support operations of the Institute, including student scholarships, travel, faculty support, education, cultural, and community programming, among other items. And that will be in addition to another $9 million donation that we'll be announcing as well. So fiscal year 25, it's starting off on a very positive note moving forward, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much for that report. Are there any questions or comments from Regents? Regent Brown.
Thank you so much, Regent Brown, for the record. Mr. Sanchez, I know you guys announced the annual awards dinner, and it looks like it's on a Monday in the middle of the in March, so it's the middle of the legislature. Are you worried about attendance and participation and getting the full reach doing it then?
Having chaired the Special Projects Committee myself for 5 years, which I don't currently at the foundation, you know, the dates are always a very difficult thing to schedule. There's always competing events. We have traditionally had the foundation dinner in the first week of October, which unfortunately coincided with one of the largest gaming expos that we have in Las Vegas, and that was the suitable date that we were given by our location, which will be at the Bellagio. Obviously, we're going to endeavor however we can to ensure our attendance will match the 1,000-plus attendees that we have had in the past. And I think, you know, the fact that we have announced that our keynote speaker will be the iconic and world-famous chef Jose Andres, who will be gracing us at that dinner. We're hopeful. But as we move forward, those are very difficult and unfortunate conflicts that we run across sometimes.
Thank you. I was just curious kind of like the rationale behind it. My next question is actually for Mr. McCurdy. So this foundation report gives us a really good look back and a snapshot of what we can expect moving forward. And 2 months ago, you presented to the board an idea of a capital campaign, 10 years, $1 billion on the top end. I'm looking at the numbers, and I still just don't understand the how of how we're going to get there. Based on the last four years, that's an average of $41 million a year. Even on the low end, that's almost doubling what we would need in order to get there. And so can you please share some strategies on what we can expect in future years on this report?
Good morning. Ricky McCurry, Vice President for Philanthropy and Alumni Engagement, President of UNLV Foundation, for the record. Thank you, Regent Brown, for that question. Let me start by simply saying that we have engaged with a consultant firm, Martin Lundy, who we've worked with for several years here at UNLV. And one of the things that you do when planning a campaign is you do a capacity analysis. So we did a capacity analysis of our database, our alumni, our friends, our corporate and foundation supporters, and looked at what the potential capacity is within that group. We identified some $21 billion in terms of capacity. So in terms of the relationships and people who support our institution, the capacity is there. What we have to do is we have to develop those relationships, make sure that we are connecting with those individuals to build upon that foundation that's been established. One of the ways we're doing this, and I reported at the last meeting, that we are enhancing our ability to actually connect with and understand our donors and prospects and their needs through a new CRM system, which will help us tremendously. We've also enhanced our efforts in terms of our planned giving space. Prior to my arrival, we did not have a very robust planned giving program. We have now engaged in a very active planned giving program. One of the gifts that President Sanchez mentioned was a $4 million estate gift. We also have received a $9 million estate gift, so we're having a lot of movement in that space. We're continuing to reach out to alums and develop engagement strategies with respect to alums. And all of the things that one does in preparation for a comprehensive campaign. So, again, while I reported in the last meeting, this is not an easy task because we have gone a long time without a campaign. So any momentum that was built from the last campaign, we no longer have. So we're basically starting from the beginning in creating a campaign culture and creating a culture of philanthropy around UNLV.
That makes sense. And I'm glad you mentioned culture, because when you talk about potential capacity, I'm also curious how staff plays into that.
In terms of staff support, we actually have been directing our efforts towards faculty and staff engagement. And 3 years ago, we held our first annual faculty staff appreciation barbecue for those individual faculty and staff who have supported the institution. This past year, we had that event. We had over 700 faculty and staff who participated in that event. So we're building a culture within the university. We've also started a program what we call Fundraising 101, where we invite students, faculty, staff, and anyone who wants to come have lunch with us, and we talk about what philanthropy is about, how people can engage in developing and helping us to develop relationships so that people will invest in the university.
I think that's great. And maybe last time you presented to us, you misspoke, but you did blame the staff and the software on the missteps, and I felt like that, you know, for me, leadership is that, you know, the leader takes all the blame and gives all the credit, and it sounds like you're you don't feel like that's your culture, but I was actually really disheartened to hear that you were blaming your staff at the last time that you spoke to us. And so I'm just curious, you know, when I'm looking at the numbers and you have to raise almost double every year and you have to create, you know, and you have to bring your team and inspire them. And so it doesn't sound like we have that rhetoric today, but I did sit with that over the last 2 months because it did shock me to hear that. I also am curious, because we never got it at the last meeting, when do we plan on starting this capital campaign?
Thank you, Regent Brown. Again, let me just go back in terms of your first comment regarding blaming staff. I believe what I mentioned was we had a number of staff vacancies, which meant that those positions were open, and as a result, we didn't have people representing those units or raising money. In terms of the start of the campaign, that really depends on what do you mean by the term start at campaign. For those of us in the fundraising business, you know, when we talk about starting a campaign, we include the pre-planning process, which we're currently in. We include aspects of fundraising where there are some units that are in a position to go out and begin the public process of a campaign. That example is with our athletic area as part of the campaign. But this campaign is a confederation really smaller campaigns to build into the bigger campaigns. So generally when people ask when are you going to start the campaign, they want to know when you're going to have the kickoff dinner, the balloons go up, and the band plays. Well, generally the rule of thumb is to you go public with the campaign once you have around 55 to 65% of your goal in hand. So again, at this point, we are in the campaign. Okay. We have started the campaign, but we're not at 60% of the goal in hand, so no balloons are going to be released yet. But we're working through our leadership phase to bring in gifts that will allow us to get to that point. And, again, hopefully as we continue to move forward, we find other units that might be prepared to launch just like the athletic portion of the campaign launch.
Well, okay, so that's helpful clarification. I mean, but 2 months ago was the first time I had heard of this. And as you know, when we're invited, I attend the trustee meetings. And so I just didn't know, because one of my questions is actually like, are you planning to include a reach back? And so it sounds like, and if you are, how far back are we going? And it sounds like in your mind that this is officially started, it's just not publicly announced. And I hope we don't throw any balloons because those are bad for the environment. But I am just curious when you're in your mind, including reach backs, when we can start saying, okay, this dollar in counts towards this $1 billion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, thank you for the question. Typically, in a campaign, reach back goes back to when the campaign ended. But also, typically, you don't have a 10-year period when the last campaign. So our reach back would really not go past really FY19, FY20, because that's when there was conversation. The Foundation Board did a strategic plan, which indicated they wanted to enter into a comprehensive campaign, and that's when the conversation started. That's when people knew that we were going to try to be in a campaign, and that's when they started making contributions. And we believe some of those contributions were made as a result of the fact that we announced we were going to be in a comprehensive campaign. So we would not go back beyond that point.
Do you know how much money that I know it's on 55%, so we're not making a public statement. Yeah. And it's fine. We can talk offline if you want to give me that number. No. But that's just good for me to have that. If we're talking, if I'm looking at this, and I think the way I'm reading this is like your fiscal year is going to end. So this 2020 fiscal year would be June. Is that correct?
Yeah, fiscal year ends June 30th, correct.
And I forgive me on the timeline. I think you got here October-ish 2020?
Yeah, you have perfect memory.
Oh, perfect. So then I'm thinking, so then I'm looking at these 4 years, and so if we could get that number, that would be really great, just so we can understand how this is kind of being unfolded.
Absolutely. We'll be happy to provide that to you, because I think that's a very important point, because, again, when you talk about campaigns and what's counting in campaigns, it's gifts received as well as pledges. And so we want to make sure we're clear in terms of what we're counting in the campaign versus what accounting takes place in the campaign. There's a difference there, so we want to make sure that we provide the education and information so that everybody knows clearly what is being counted, what's been included when we talk about these numbers. So thank you for the question, and we would definitely provide that information to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Other questions or comments from Regents? Regent Brooks, and then Regent Del Carlo.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate it. Regent Brooks for the record. And I don't want to keep belaboring what was just discussed, but I do have a question that relates to a lot of the things that you just spoke about. And that's in the presentation that we have on page 5 is that 10-year giving history. And you can see where there was a dip right around COVID, and then the next year it was pretty strong. But after that, really 2022, 2023, 2024, it's pretty substantial in terms of the drop of monies. And so I was wondering if there's something that you've looked at where you can pinpoint and really attribute to why that's occurred for the past couple of years.
Thank you, Regent Brooks. Yeah, there are a couple things that we point to. Again, as I mentioned earlier, we had some key vacancies. So if you don't have a fundraiser, for example, in the School of Medicine out We're representing the School of Medicine and asking people to support the School of Medicine. You're going to get a drop in that area. So that's probably been the biggest challenge in terms of the numbers. The other thing is that timing has played a factor. We've had some donors who were planning to make some gifts and had talked to us about gifts that actually became delayed as a result of COVID or some other changes. So there are a couple of things that we can point to. But I think as Chair Sanchez mentioned, you know, we're looking at this year, we're seeing an uptick in the numbers. Some of those gifts that we thought were going to come in last year are coming in this year, as well as some new things on the horizon. So we believe this year, I would also add, we've put a fundraiser in Madison now. So, again, we've gotten that covered as well as some other places. So I think we're going to see this year turn back up and move us closer to where we want to be and where we need to be.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Yes, sir.
Regent Del Carlo.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. And just, you know, you make more money when your expenses are low. So I'm just going to ask, you've got a 30% rate for expenses, and it's the highest of all the institutions. All of our institutions, except for our two R1s, are single digits, from as low of an admirable low of 3% at TMCC to our highest being 7%. So why is yours so high? Well, and I will ask the same question when UNR comes up, too.
Great. Thank you, Regent Del Carlo. What goes into those expenses? Salaries and benefits for staff. And so when you have professional schools like Madison and Law, fundraisers for those individuals are going to have higher salaries. So if you're looking at an institution that doesn't have professional schools, then they're not going to have those salary issues. We have administrative costs, whether we're talking about dealing with attorneys or real estate agents when we have real property gifts that come into play, attorneys, trusts, fees when we're dealing with estates as a result of our planned giving program, our consultants factor into that, as well as professional services, and then what we do in terms of donor stewardship. So when we have an event like the Palladium Society event to honor those individuals who've given us over $1 million, those expenses all go into fundraising expenses. So it's just not salary alone. I don't know if that answered your question, but.
Well, it's the explanation. It doesn't. What I'd really like to see, and we can't do it today, but I'd like to see, like, the last 10 years at what the rate's been. So, because that's a lot of money. I mean, when I look at donating to just charities, there's a website you can go to. It shows you what the percentage is that actually goes to the charity versus their administrative costs. And that's a huge factor for a lot of donors. So I just want to, I would like to see that and then see how it can be improved. Because for every dollar you raise, you're spending 30% to get there. That's not great.
Yes, and we'll be happy to provide that information to you. And also, again, the more money you raise, the less those expenses are going to be as well. So,
thank you. I'll go back to Regent Brown.
Thank you so much, Regent Brown, for the record. I wanted to ask about the SANS program. It was just mentioned at the top of this meeting, but yesterday I was in ARSA and we voted on it. And so I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about how the foundation is involved with that program.
Okay. First of all of those individual arrangements, there's an agreement between the donor and the foundation. So the foundation is actually the receiving entity. So all of the our pledge documents were developed within the foundation, executed through the foundation process. But beyond that, Stowe Shoemaker, I believe you heard Provost Hevey mention yesterday that Stowe was very involved in, as a part of the foundation, in connecting Provost Heavey with the key people at the Sands. He was involved in helping to develop proposal. Emily Irwin, who is our Director of Corporate and Foundation Relations, has a close relationship with her counterpart at Sands, and they worked very closely on that as well. So we had different touch points involved in that process. And ultimately, when the agreement was done, the signatories on the agreement was the Sands people, the university, and the foundation.
Well, Stowe definitely had a great quarter. I know he brought in the $1 million from Marco Benvenuti for the fourth floor of the Harris College.
He was involved in that, absolutely.
Well, I know he's the one that did it because Marco is a very good friend of mine, yep. And I was there when it happened.
That
so, but I also know that from my involvement with the Sands, and they briefed us on that because I'm on the ARSA committee, the person that they brought up time and time again was Chris Heavey. And so I just want to make sure that when we are giving credit to the hard work that's being done to make sure this university gets money, that the right people are getting that credit. And I just don't feel like that is always transparent in that. So, yes, I'm sure that Stowe was involved and Emily and everybody, but if the Sands Corporation is telling me, because they want me to vote on this, that it is because of Chris Heavey, then when we present today and it gets wrapped up into the foundation money, I just think that it has to be transparent in how that money actually came, because he doesn't work for the foundation. He might have brought the money to the foundation, but I find it really hard to say, oh, your staff is the 30% that's being allocated, every 30%, you know, 30 cents on the dollar is being allocated to money. And then this is a huge, you know, donation to and in partnership with the university that technically foundation didn't have much to do, staff didn't have much to do with. Yes, it's all part of, we all work together, it all, right? And so I want to get to where that 30% is actually being spent if you were celebrating programming that isn't necessarily tied to the efforts directly being done by the staff at the foundation.
Thank you, Regent Brown, and certainly, and I believe Chair Sanchez mentioned President Whitfield, President Provost Heavey, and certainly there was no attempt not to acknowledge and recognize that Chris Heavey was a major player in this.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from Regents? So I will entertain a motion to accept the annual report for the UNLV Foundation.
Susan Brager, I will make a motion for acceptance.
Thank you, Regent Brager. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Regent Goodman. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number 3 is the officers. You can see that on your agenda. Item 4, consent items. So that's the financial statements, new appointments, and reappointments, and an appointment of a trustee emeritus. Are there any questions or comments on the consent agenda?
Move to approve the consent items.
Thank you. I appreciate that motion, Regent Brown. Is there a second?
Second. Give it to Carol.
Okay. Second from Regent Del Carlo. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 5, new business. Is there any new business for the UNLV Foundation? Yes, Regent Brown.
Thank you, Regent Brown, for the record. My new business, to ensure ongoing transparency and alignment with the strategic goals of UNLV, I'd like to have the UNLV Foundation submit a monthly update to the Board of Regents until we feel confident in the plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other new business? Yes, Regent Del Carlo.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. I'd also like to see a 10-year back look at what the percentage of expenses are for your foundation, because I remember some glory days the year. I think I was new, $93 million. I was, like, blown away that you could raise that much money in a year. So, I'd like to see that. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll move on to public comment. Is there any public comment at GBC?
There is none at this time.
Thank you. Is there any public comment at the system office in Reno?
None at this time.
Thank you. Any public comment here at UNLV? Seeing none, SES, is there any public comment on the phone?
Madam Chair, I have a few callers. I'm not sure if they're here for the University of Nevada and Las Vegas Foundation, but I'll call their numbers and give them a chance to respond. Caller with the number ending in 1200. If you're here to provide comment for the UNLV Foundation, please state and spell your name for the record, and you have 2 minutes to address the committee.
I am here for a comment, but for WNC.
Okay.
Thank you.
You can go ahead and mute, and I'll call on you for the next one. Caller with the number ending in 9406, if you're here for the foundation meeting to provide public comment, please press star 6 to unmute, state and spell your name for the record, and you have 2 minutes to address.
Hello, my name is Drew Marie Mina. I wanted to share my support for a fee raise that contributes to CSN Athletics as a current student athlete attending CSN. Being a student athlete has been more for me than attending school and playing a sport. I have been able to make meaningful connections with others that I will continue to value throughout my life.
Excuse me, miss. Sorry to interrupt. This is Chris Nielsen, special counsel. I believe your comment, your public comment, should be more appropriately directed to the main Board of Regents meeting, which will conclude after these foundation meetings, and there will be two opportunities to provide public comment during that meeting when that meeting resumes after these foundation meetings.
Okay, thank you.
And last caller we have, caller with the last name of Femster, please press star 6 to unmute, state and spell your name for the record, and you can address the foundation.
My comment is for later.
Okay. That's all we have at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you. With no other public comment, I will adjourn the meeting of the UNLV Foundation at 9:39.